KRFY 88.5 Pend'Oreille.
88.5 KRFY is listener-supported, commercial-free community radio for North Idaho. Please become a member today at krfy.org.
Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to 88.5 KRFY. This is the morning show, and I'm Susie Prez, one of your hosts this morning, and I'm here in the studios with my guest co-host, Ryan Baumgartner. Good morning, Ryan.
Good morning, Susie. Thanks for having me.
It's always fun to have you in the studio. And Ryan, you're the host of the 3 o'clock Rush. You're a senior graduating soon. We're going to so miss you. I can't even believe it. But thanks for being here today.
Definitely. I don't do a lot of live radio with the 3 o'clock Rush, so I enjoy coming in here with you and having that extra live spark that you feel sitting here in front of the board.
Yeah, we have a lot going on this morning. We actually have three interviews. And our first interview, we've been waiting for this for a while and really are excited. Why don't you tell our listeners, Ryan, who our guests are this morning first?
Well, I am a graduating senior this year, which means I will be leaving KRFY towards the end of the summer, but I am very excited to announce that the Sandpoint High School Cedar Post will be taking over the 3 o'clock Rush hour and continuing the voice of the high school here on KRFY. So I'd like to welcome our guest, Will Love, the Cedar Post advisor. And Connor Bird, the radio managing editor.
Good morning, Will and Connor.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, it's really nice to have you. And we have a lot to talk about. But before we get to the interview, I want to say also our second short interview at 8:45 will be with Stephanie Hansen. She's a PTA representative from Farman Stidwell School. They have an upcoming fundraiser they want to talk about. And then at 9 o'clock, an extra special interview right after Bird Note with Dorothy Prophet. She's from the Cade Prophet Memorial Productions, and she's going to be talking about the upcoming play, Sylvia. And that will be at 9. It's really an extra extended morning show interview.
Cool.
So we'll stay tuned for all of that. But first, the weather from the National Weather Service. Currently, it's 55 degrees. Will be mostly cloudy today and breezy and a high of 70. That's kind of nice. I see a little bit of sunshine behind those clouds. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low of 45. And tomorrow, mostly sunny because later on it's kind of rain coming during the weekend. But mostly sunny on Thursday, a high of 75. And Thursday night, a low of 48. And then we'll get a little bit more rain maybe on the weekend. But who knows for sure. And that is the weather from the National Weather Service. And we wanted to, before we get to this, Ryan, why don't you tell us the Sandpoint City Minute?
Definitely. Mayor Shelby Rongstad has signed a proclamation declaring today, May 22nd of 2019, Jerry Kramer Day. Jerry Kramer moved to Sandpoint at the age of 9 with his family and recognized Sandpoint as his hometown. He graduated from Sandpoint High School and attended the University of Idaho on a football scholarship before being drafted by the Green Bay Packers. He is a two-time Super Bowl champion, five-time NFL champion, and three-time NFL Pro Bowl selection. Jerry is well known as a generous contributor and supporter of many charities. He has been a longtime supporter of the Sandpoint High School Athletes and Sandpoint Area Seniors Daybreak program. Jerry will be sharing his story at an event to support the Daybreak Center tonight at the Panda in downtown Sandpoint.
So welcome, Jerry Kramer. I heard they just named a short segment of a street after him.
You know what? I was actually driving here, and next to Memorial Field, they were putting the signage up, like, right now they're doing it.
Okay, so the Jerry Kramer Boulevard.
Way, I think.
Okay,
yeah.
Sounds good. We have a couple other things we want to talk about, but yesterday was May 21st, and it was election day in our area, in our county. It was a county election. They call it a taxing district election. And here are the results that are official from the Bonner County Election Office. Pendere Hospital District had one open seat on their board. Scott Bergstaller won that with 2,450 votes, and Spencer Hutchin received 788 votes. East Bonner Library District had two open seats. Judy Myers and Joan Terrell received those seats. And West Bonner County School District, they had a proposed $3 million supplemental levy. It passed in favor with, I think it was 85 votes. And then the West Side Fire District, they passed a budget increase in favor. So that's it. You can go to the Bonner County Election Office website and find out more details, because there are a few sewer districts and a few other things out there in those elections out in the extended county area.
We'd also like to take this time to remind our listeners about our upcoming annual membership drive. This is 2 days of live radio, June 7th and 8th, from 8 to 8 each day. We're going to have music and interviews with community members. It's going to be a lot of live radio here at KRFY. You can come down and support us here at the studio at 323 North First Avenue, and always tune in.
And it's fun. I just got a commitment from Will, and I'm hoping Connor will come down too. A lot of people just show up. We are live on the air for 2 days, and we can use all the help we can get, because we want to talk to people and visit with our community and celebrate what we're doing here, our community, our wonderful North Idaho community. So let's start our interview. I wanted to start out with a little testimonial, a little story. I started here at the radio station in 2011. I got on the board. We were struggling. We got underwriters. We, had a really great program schedule that we put together. But there was one thing that I always had, and we all had in the back of our minds, is that we wanted to have the voice of our students, our community of younger people, not just us older folks. And we wanted to incorporate the high school into the program schedule that we have. And we worked on it. Will, you and I met a couple times, but it seemed over the top. It seemed like we didn't really know where to go with it. And even though it was one of our goals and our hopes and desires, it never really happened until Ryan Baumgartner showed up. And I just want to say, Ryan, thank you so much, because without you, none of this will be happening in the future. But you made it all possible by showing up and putting together a great show, the 3 o'clock rush. I have lots of friends my age, and I'm old, that love to listen to the 3 o'clock rush, mainly because we're hearing music that we wouldn't normally hear. And we're also hearing about what's going on at the high school. So Ryan, I just want to say thank you and recognize the initiative that you have brought to the airwaves here at 88.5 KRFY. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome, Susie, and the rest of the listeners. I've enjoyed a lot. I've enjoyed all of my time here, and I am also excited to let you know that we have been working on putting some of the 3 o'clock library in towards our auto programming, so you may hear a couple of our songs in there every now and again.
And when I do, I always say, that's one of Ryan's songs, because it's different, and I love it. It's so upbeat and melodic. I don't even know how to describe it. Someday we'll have a show of just finding out about that. But So thank you for showing up and being the voice of the high school. And now we have a whole new group.
Right. And I think that we've gotten better as far as digital technology and being able to record things away from the studio. And that is something that I started doing. I do a lot of my program at home. And I think that that really proves that you can do this without all of the fancy equipment we have here, and really made this more accessible to the high school and being able to continue this program and make it a little less intimidating. I think when you think about taking on a entire show and scheduling time to come into our studio, which is getting busier and busier because of the overwhelming excitement for radio recording and different shows that we keep adding into our program, can be a little bit difficult and a little bit, like I said, intimidating. And I think that being able to do this on your own a little bit more, it's a lot more flexible. And I think that that really made it something that the Cedar Post is going to be able to not only do, but succeed and thrive at.
So, teacher.
Yes.
Will Love.
Yeah.
What inspired you to say, okay, we can do this now?
Well, I have to give credit to Susie because, yeah, this is something that she's envisioned for a while. And when she came and visited me, unfortunately, it just was not in the cards at that point. But Ryan and Susie approached us a couple months ago and said, hey, would you be interested in doing this? And, we are at that point now where audio is a big thing. I've been a big fan of podcasts and I had a radio show when I was in college. So I love the medium. And so I've wanted to bring it to the Cedar Post platform. It's taken a little while, but as Ryan pointed out, technology, it's so much easier now to do it. And so one of the roadblocks was going to be, okay, how can we get kids down to the studio on a regular basis and stuff like that? Well, now we can pretty much produce the show within our room, and so that's a huge, huge aspect that's going to make it viable for us to do.
I know years ago when we were talking about this, you said, well, we'll find a closet and we'll find a couple microphones. Did you find that closet and some microphones? Because it does take equipment to put together a sound room of some sort to put together those podcasts that now you're going to be producing. Connor, I don't know if you're involved in the equipment part of it.
So we got some mics, I think, like a month or two ago, and we've just been doing it in the classroom. I would hope someday to get a little room to be able to do all the things in, but.
Yeah, I've asked, I could use probably two or three other rooms for my program as far as photo studio, broadcast studio and stuff like that. And so I know that the administration knows that, we're asking for space, but, and I think they're looking at potentially having some options and stuff like that. But I think once we get this going and they see what we're doing during class time, I think then that all of a sudden that'll maybe be some inspiration for finding some space in the high school to put together a broadcast studio.
Definitely. And the mics that you guys got, I love them. They're the Blue Yeti mics. They're the ones that I use. And they have amazing control for being able to take out echoes and things in a space. And you'll actually probably be surprisingly, it's going to come out pretty well, I bet, just even in the classroom. And even with a couple people around, it really does a good job of being able to make it sound more like you're in your own studio. So that's a great choice. And I think that whether they get their own space or not, I think the quality is going to be there. Just with the equipment, and so I'm excited.
Well, I think in all the media that the Cedar Post staff produces, and if you don't know, it's a student run publication, and so the kids make the decisions, they do all the work and stuff like that. But one of the awesome things that has been a tradition is putting together high quality content in both design and the reporting. So I think here with the kids that we have on staff, and especially Connor, he's a perfectionist, and some of the stuff that he's already produced, he's kind of like, well, how can I correct this, I can make it a little bit better. And so I think, it's going to be trial and error. The other cool thing is that we're going to get some handheld microphones so that kids, when they're out and about, reporting stories for the newspaper or the website, the Cedar Post website, they can also, this is a pretty good interview. I'm going to get some audio of this. And if the person allows me, we'll put this as part of our new show on the radio.
I think that, you bring up a great point of why, when we were at the studio, we're thinking about who can take this program. You guys were just a great fit because we were thinking, who collects this information and already creates this level of quality productions, as far as you guys already do this for, your paper and your web publications. We were thinking, wow, if we could just introduce a new medium to share this information that you already have and are already making these different options for everybody, and they are that quality that we at the station were thinking this would be great to incorporate into our own programming. And I think that that really made this a great fit. You guys already have all of this information, are going out to these games and doing interviews with people who we wouldn't always have access to here at the station.
So, Connor, I wanted to ask you, what inspired you or brought your interest to taking this on as the lead person with the podcast that will be broadcast? Because you know there's going to be a lot of editing.
Yeah, so I actually used to make music myself. I used to like mix and produce music. So I got interested in that aspect. And I just got really into editing and all sorts of different media. So I think I would really like the editing process and just to sit down and look at it from a different view and not just be like the host, but also what goes on behind the scenes. So I think that's really what got me going on this. And
I think with his background too, he's able to edit together stuff that we've already done, and just seems like seconds to me. But you know, it's 10, 15 minutes. He's able to turn around a sit down and put music into it, edit out stuff that, you know, the ums and dead air and stuff like that. He's able to do that and turn it around in about 15 minutes, which is, you know, so he's adept at this, along with a lot of other things. He's a talented student that, as far as producing media is concerned, he can do a lot of things, not just on the audio side.
Right, and editing is a great skill to have and very marketable too after high school. And I don't think all of our listeners knows that we're a nonprofit. We're a small station. All of our broadcasters have to do this themselves, and we don't have a whole engineering staff to take care of this. So when you take a program, you're also learning how to edit and all of these things that you have to do yourself to complete the program. You don't have all these people behind you to do it for you. This is your job as well, and being able to not only do that but be good at doing that, something that I've kind of taken to telling everybody that we're going to pretend it's live radio because I'm not going to edit it. That's normally what I tell people when they come in. But being able to do that editing, and that is a great skill, and I'm excited.
If I do a recorded interview, and do the edits, taking out the ums, as you say, I always say afterwards, I made you sound good. and it's true. Yeah. You don't want to, in a political interview, if we interview our legislators, you can't edit. You can take out the ums, but you can't change anything.
Yeah.
That's law. And those are the kind of things when we come over to the school and kind of give you the FCC regulations, we'll be talking a little bit about some of that stuff that you would want to know.
That's an aspect that I'm really, really excited about, is that, you know, I am an old newspaper guy. So, you know, I've been kind of self-taught when it comes to broadcast, and now I'm teaching myself this. So it's great to have an understanding of how that works. So that, you know, one of the big things with the journalism program is that the goal isn't to produce journalists necessarily. The goal is to produce people that know how to interact with media and understand like how it works and what's good and what's something that they should avoid.
Definitely. And I think that everybody kind of self-teaches there to begin with. And I know I look at some of my first programs and some of the programs I'm doing now and the differences, things I've learned. Cool. One of my words, I said cool too much. If you are just tuning in, this is the morning show, the Wednesday edition, with my co-host Susie. I'm Ryan Baumgartner from the 3 o'clock Rush filling in, and we have a couple guests in the studio from the Cedar Post. We have Connor Bird, the managing radio editor, and we also have Will Love, the Cedar Post advisor. We're talking about the continuation of the 3 o'clock Rush next year.
So I wanted to ask Connor, you've probably been listening to the 3 o'clock Rush, and in some ways, so what inspired you about that show that you really are going to glean some processes and some information and how it comes across and things like that?
I liked how it was on the radio. That was cool to me, that anyone could listen to this. And I also liked the musical aspect, because kids just don't want to listen to an hour of just talking. They also want music in there, and more modern music at that. So I liked that aspect. So it kept you interested, as well as provided info about what's going on at the school and that aspect of it. So
what I'm hearing, and I'm excited about this, because I completely understand that this show, this new show, is going to be completely different from my own, and it's going to have a lot of different aspects that I wasn't able to do, and different things are going to, it's going to evolve. But I'm excited to hear that you're going to at least keep the musical aspect, because that has been something that has been really surprising to me, that how well that was received. I kind of put it in there because I said, I cannot talk for an hour. I don't think I can do it. And I knew I would be scheduling 2 or 3 interviews a week. And I normally do just 1 or 2, and that's a lot more manageable. But how much people appreciate that music aspect. Like you said, people who listen to our station, we have a great variety of music, and that is something that we are really proud of. We try to play lots of different types of music. We don't just play the top 10 hits over and over again.
Yeah.
And I bring a different type of music than what is always played on the station, and I know that you will too. And I think that that is why that is so popular with some of our listeners who aren't in the high school and looking for that specific information.
I just got an idea, but you don't have to take this idea, Connor, but I was thinking you could have a contest, and people could create set lists, and the good set lists get to go on, or yeah, something like that. And it could have themes, but they have to have themes to them, according to maybe the seasonal aspect of what's coming up. Will?
Well, you know, one of the nice things is that with the Cedar Post taking on the production of this, is that there's already, to your point, like 20 kids in that class that, you know, and you come into the Cedar Post classroom while they're working, and there's all kinds of, you know, Connor's usually the DJ. When he turns his music up a little bit louder than mine. But anyway, but they're always like throwing out requests and stuff like that. So I think that's going to be the other aspect here, is it's not just going to be Connor curating this music. It's going to be something that several people will have their hands in. And so, you know, I like that idea too, of opening it up into contest for the school as well. So
people could stop in and give a song and maybe dedicate it to someone.
Yeah, yeah.
And dedicate a song.
Our Valentine's show.
Yeah.
That is pretty cool. And I've done programs like that along the way, where I've played music. Like I did a spring break program because I wasn't in the studio. I was out of town. So I played that kind of music. And my program airs at 3. So I played like road trip kind of spring break music. And that's always fun. I like opening up the set list, because you also don't have to make as many sets.
Right.
Then it's done. That sounds great to me.
And you just mentioned 3 o'clock. And there was a reason, I don't know if you know that, but there was a reason Ryan picked 3 o'clock. Ryan, do you want to talk about that?
I did. And if you look at our program schedule on carefy.org, it cuts right into the middle of autos throughout the whole week. It's the only thing that does that. But it was on purpose. We picked that time because when I was a sophomore and junior, I have early release now, so I can spend some more time at the studio, but I would get stuck in the parking lot, I think, right around 3 for a good 15 minutes, just trying to get out. And then, of course, it'd be clear right after, but you get stuck there. So that's why we picked that time, because radio seems to be it's in everybody's cars, especially all these kids who have the late 90s, early 2000s Subarus that don't have the, you can't plug your phone in and things like that. So we thought we need to be on the radio when these kids are in their cars, because that's predominantly when they're listening to the radio. So that's why we picked this hour. And we're also rebroadcasted on Friday at 10. And that's great for all of my California friends. You can tune in there and do that closer in the evening there. But that's why we picked it, and I think that's where where your program's going to stay. I don't know if you'll keep the name or anything like that, but that was the time frame we chose the name, the 3 o'clock rush, off of that kind of traffic jam at 3 o'clock.
And when you mentioned keeping the name, have you guys thought about that? Do you have a team, Connor, that you're working with, or are you the in charge?
I'm the team so far, but no, we don't have a name yet. Our podcasts are the Cedar Podcast is the name of our podcast right now, but I don't know if that will stick. Yeah, we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, I think we just recently announced positions, and so, and then it came on as we're working on our final newspaper. So the kids have been pretty busy. So probably next week we'll sit down and have more time to kind of really start to plan for what we're going to do and what this looks like.
Yeah.
So I formatted my show and it just kind of fell into this way where I put the podcast towards the end, I put the music in the beginning, and I'm about a 50-50 split right now, I would say. I normally play a song in between the interview and then wanted to play it out at the end. Get a theme song, there's a great tip, because you do have to fill an hour, and being able to, first it's recognizable there, and you can put it at the beginning and you put it at the end, and then you can play as much as you need to at the end and fade it right down so that you don't have to try to make all your songs like, I need a 2-minute and 47-second song to fill out the last portion here. You don't need to do that.
Yeah.
And that is great. So get a good recognizable, preferably upbeat to me is something that I think theme song to put in there. And instrumental is great because you can fade it down and talk over it at the beginning there. I do that. That's something that I do. But do you know kind of the format you're going to do? Are you going to do a good portion of music? Are you going to do a lot of interviews? What are you thinking?
I'm thinking mostly interviews, but also throwing some music in there. And I was thinking, like what you said, do like a song or two at the front and then like one in the middle and then like one or two at the end.
Right, kind of space them out.
Yeah.
Okay, and you guys are probably going to have a little shorter interviews, but a couple more of them in each week. It sounds like you're kind of going out and grabbing these, so you'll be able to fit those songs in there pretty well as well. Okay.
Yeah, I think one of the things, and kids will kind of discuss this, but we'll also look to have regular kind of guests. So that, you know, like once a month, perhaps with Mr. Albertson, you know, or an administrator, just so that in kind of the planning and they're looking at this out, they can kind of go, okay, we know that we're going to have this on this date. You know, what are some other shows that we can, or I'm sorry, other, interviews that or stories that we can add in there. And then the other thing that I'm going to challenge them to do is actually do some reporting as well. And hopefully put together, you know, 2-minute, 3-minute segments of somebody going out and interviewing and coming back and putting that together. So I think, you know, that's one of the kids are going to, and Connor, they're going to make the decisions, the final decisions on all this. But then my role as a teacher is to say, well, try this. I want you to experiment with that and see if this can come together. Because, you know, one of the things that we're also trying to do with our publications is give these kids a portfolio, you know, some clips that they can take out with them, whether they go to college or decide to join the workforce afterwards. But they've got this collection of media that they can do with and say, yeah, I've done this, you know.
And I think the bottom line is, Connor, you're going to find out, as Ryan has and Will, as you did in college, you're bringing a service to people. You're bringing information, news and information that informs and inspires. That's where the music comes in. Music inspires us. That's why it's nice to have that mix in there.
Yeah.
But the timely reporting, that's a hard one.
Yeah.
It takes a lot, because if it's timely, that means you've got people going out. So you need a few Zoom recorders to grab those clips and understand the technology of how to get them off onto the computer, into the whatever program. Are you using GarageBand or
we're using Audition.
Adobe Audition. Yeah. That's what we use in the studio.
That's what we're recording you on right now, even though we're live here in the studios of 88.5 KRFY, by the way. And we're speaking with a high school journalism teacher, Cedar Post advisor, and also girls basketball coach.
Yes.
How was your season, by the way, this year?
You know, we struggled a little bit, but like anything, it was awesome because we got better. We couldn't make some baskets near the end, but I was really, really pleased with how a really young team came along and put us in situations where we were competitive. And then we're actually starting a summer season. And so we had our first practice last night. And so the varsity kids will play up to 18 games during the month of June. So it's pretty hectic, but they have a good time. And I'm really excited about seeing these kids grow. We've got some good players that I think next year, now that they've got this year of experience, they're going to be pretty good.
I have a question to steer us back to our original topic. I know I just saw your posting about the new positions for next year. And we have this great resource that is the Cedar Post class of so many different editors with specific topics like the sports editor. How are you going to incorporate those people into the program as well?
So I was thinking if we have a topic addressed as, say, sports, we could bring in that editor to come in and talk about their topic and get their own spin on it, because they would be the expert on that topic. So that's where that's what I was thinking. And so with each new subject, per se, we could bring in that editor to come in and talk about their own topic.
I really love that idea, because I think it gives familiar voices, but it also gives the variety of different people coming in to the program. And I don't have a co-host, and that's something that if I could do it again, I probably would have tried to do that more. And I think that's important when you're putting together a program. You know, like the morning show here, we always have a co-host and we can do a little back and forth. And I think that having at least a majority of the class involved is going to be cool. And I'm excited to hear that you are considering that. I think that's what makes having the Cedar Post do this special.
Yeah. One of the things that Connor, when I talked to him about this, because we've put together probably what, six or seven podcasts at this point, and he's been he's produced all of them, I think. But one of the things that he said is like, well, I also want to do design stuff for the paper. I still want to lay out pages and stuff like that. And so, you know, the agreement was, yes, you can still do that. So one of the things is that if we can also have these people, it'll allow Connor to have a little bit more time than, you know, and then the other thing that I see as a teacher, actually kind of how this got going. I mean, we knew we were going to take on the radio show, but, we kind of had it was about a 3-week stretch where there wasn't a whole lot going on. And so I said, hey, you guys, you need to do a pretty in-depth story, and I want you to work on some type of media that you're not familiar with, and give that a try. And so some kids did some web stuff, some kids did some broadcast stuff, and then there was a group of them that said, well, we've got these mics, let's go ahead and produce some audio stuff. And so they did that. And so one of the things that would be a requirement for each student is that they, you know, part of their grade is that they produce something that can go onto this program. So that, as you said, a variety of voices, and as Connor said, with an expertise in their area, but also, you know, you got that variety of voices too. So so hopefully, when telling the story of the school on this show, you know, it's not just Connor's point of view. It's a lot of kids' point of view, and so I'm excited about that.
And I remember you talking about being familiar with podcasts, and I think that podcasts, first of all, that's growing, and I think that that's the portion of radio that is really expanding right now. And I know that you guys are going to do some podcasts, and we can't do the music portion of podcasts on our podcast, but we have a lot of podcasts too, and we're on our website and Slacker, and they're on podcasts in the Apple app, Apple podcast. You can look us right up. Are we going to be able to put those on there for our listeners as well?
Yes, that's my plan. And we would also like to put them on our website as well.
Definitely.
So we would just take the music out and put it on our website.
And then you can have 15 seconds of a piece of music that is copyrighted and just scroll it down. It's what we do on our morning show, because we'll have a song here coming up and we'll just take it out. I actually just shut off the recording part of it. But a couple of things I just wanted to say, you know, Connor, this is there's a lot of technology that you're learning, but also scheduling and really keeping this big, huge calendar, looking forward to what's coming up seasonally at the high school, what students need to know. I know Ryan would have Geraldine the Myers.
Geraldine Myers. She's the post-secondary transition counselor.
Right. For a time when the students really needed to know what to do to go to college.
Yeah.
And the seniors, the juniors, what do they need to know at a certain time? So how are you with scheduling? And which is the most challenging for you, scheduling or, you know, the technology you're going to be developing and already know?
Probably the scheduling aspect will probably be more hard, because there's just like so much going on in my life, and it's hard. Well, it will be hard to try to keep track of everything, but I think I'll be able to do it. I just need to keep track of my time and make sure it's all going smoothly. Speaking of Geraldine, sorry. We actually did a podcast with her as well about colleges and So I think it's interesting that you bring that up, because we also did did a podcast about that.
So you have these podcasts. Are any of them ones that you'd like to air on the radio before we actually launch your new show?
Are they
in that category, or are they podcasts that just go on to YouTube or something?
Well,
like that?
So you know, we've had a variety of them, and so you know, at this point, we do have I think enough that would be able to put together a show, or you know, I don't know what you're kind of thinking, but yeah, right now they've put together like I said, about six or seven of. They produce six or seven of these podcasts that have hit on a variety of different subjects. One was obviously the Geraldine Myers and the Declaration Day, but they also did an interesting one about Riley Walkington. She did one about like motivation, and so she's been kind of exploring this idea like, what motivates kids, because she was a soccer player that's going to go play at Eastern Washington. And I think one of her big regrets is that they finished second 3 years in a row at state. And so she's been trying to figure out like, mentally, was there something that they could have done? And so she put together this really interesting podcast with included Chase Tiger, the baseball coach, and Kent Leese, the former boys basketball coach, about, okay, Are kids as motivated today as maybe they were in the past? And so it was about 20-25 minutes.
Yeah.
And it's really, really interesting to hear the perspective from the coaches, but then also the perspective from the students as well. So
a podcast is different. It's really subject oriented rather than a show that is broader and has lots of aspects and elements to it. Okay, I just got that.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you. You know, we're going to wrap this up a little bit, but I want to say that we want to have you back when we launch, and basically Ryan can hand over the mic to you and say he's still going to, are you going to broadcast through the summer with your show? Have you decided?
I will be at least doing the music portions, yeah.
Okay. I know last week you did a live show, and
I do love that.
And Connor, I mentioned to you that at some point in time they're fun. Maybe at Christmas you could come and do a fun Christmas one.
I did a couple live Christmas shows. Those are a lot of fun.
They're a little different. They're a little edgier. I mean, as far as nerves and all that, because there's you're right live like we are right now.
Yeah. It is a different experience.
Yeah,
I enjoy it though.
So I think we're going to wrap this up because we have a second guest coming in. We have Stephanie Hansen coming in from Farm and Stidwell PTA. They call it something else, but that's what I'm calling it. And we want to hear about their fundraiser. But again, thank you so much. You don't even know how thrilled we are. And we will do anything we can. Like I said, we'll come over and give you the FCC lowdown, make sure everybody's on board with that, just so that we don't, you know, so that we can work. We'll set up a Dropbox. We will be here for you on this end as much as we can. And if you want to ever interview us, well, you know, we love to talk.
Yeah.
I know. It's amazing when you can do an interview like this, and we scripted pretty much none of it, just because we could talk all morning about radio and the continuation of this program, because we are just so thrilled to have this continuing and also have the Cedar Post be a part of the KRFY family.
Just real quick, I want to say thank you, Ryan, because I think, you know, what you've done has made this, made this partnership possible, and we're really, really excited about it. And I think you also, you know, you might not realize it, but what you've done with this show is like other kids are seeing that. And so now all of a sudden, kids are coming in for other projects to grab our mics and say, can we use these for this project and stuff like that. So not that they're necessarily thinking like radio and stuff like that, but they're like, okay, this is a medium that I can use. And so they're starting to develop those skills and using those in the classroom, which for me personally is like, that's what school should actually be about, you know, not taking tests and stuff like that, but making actual thing. So anyway, I really want to thank you, because you know, you might not realize it, but what I've seen with the Cedar Post kids as far as them doing these podcasts and the excitement is there, and then also, like I said, kids are starting to come in and say like, you guys have those really nice mics, can we use those for one of these projects? How do I edit? How do I do this? You know, so
big thank you, Ryan. Thanks for just laying down the foundation for us to grow from, and I'm glad to be able to take over this program next year, and so just thank you.
Well, I am so excited for you to do that, and I'm sure we'll have you back on the air, and I'd love to have you guys at least have some of the Cedar Post staff onto my program just to kind of send you guys off on your way. We are going to have a couple more guests here in the studio. I wanted to first thank you guys for coming down. We're going to play a little musical break. This is Lighthouse. It's by Hearts and Colors. It's off their 2016 Prologue album. It's an older 3 o'clock Rush song. And here you go.
And that was
Lighthouse by Hearts and Colors. It's one of the songs that we play on the 3 o'clock Rush every now and again. It's a good summer song. I thought I'd play it this morning. Hopefully bring the sun out.
I hope so. It's out, by the way, the sun.
Look at that.
There you go. We have a skylight in the studios here at 88.5 KRFY. This is The Morning Show. I'm Susie Perez with my co-host Ryan Baumgartner. We're back in the studio. We have a second interview here this morning. We were just talking with a high school journalism teacher and the new manager, Connor Bird. Right now we have Sarah Hansen. She's with the PIE, and that stands for
Partners in Education,
kind of like the old-fashioned PTA. And good morning, Sarah.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Did I say Stephanie? I meant Sarah.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. And you're here because. So, what does the PIE or the Parents in Partners in Education do?
So we're basically a nonprofit group that is helping raise money for our school to promote things like field trips. We're helping with assemblies and just basically trying to support the teachers in order to have the best experience for our children.
And so what is your role in this organization?
I'm just a volunteer.
You're a parent, I would take.
Yes.
Not just a parent, but a parent and a volunteer. So what are some of the things that that you've been involved in that have made a difference at Farm and Stidwell?
Well, we just recently had a fundraiser at Burger Express, and with the generous donations and support that we got from that fundraiser, we've been able to book some field trips, and really we're trying to incorporate a lot more of involvement from the community. So looking at having more community-oriented parties. I mean, there's lots of opportunities to do more movies and like a similar thing to a jogathon. And, you know, we know this is an active town, so trying to incorporate more people just to get out there and have some fun outside and recreation that also helps benefit the students at Farm and Stidwell.
So what are some of the things you guys fundraise for?
Well, right now we're just starting off with this fundraiser at Matchwood that I think is going to be leading us into next year. We've got a really dynamic group of people that are all helping with this Partners in Education. And so this fundraiser right now is the first one that we've done of this type. And with this fundraiser, we're going to be excited with the momentum of parents, teachers contributing to the event. We'd like to continue with fundraisers that are school and community-oriented, making it fun to raise money for our school. And the fun thing about this Matchwood fundraiser is that we would love to see the current Farm and Stidwell families, as well as teachers, Farm and Stidwell alumni, and any and all community members there to have a good time at Matchwood together. The fact that Matchwood is family-friendly is such a great bonus for us. And some of the items that are going to be at the event, we have a live auction item that's going to be a Tuesday brand cruiser bike from Greasy Fingers. They generously donated that. We also have an NRS 11-foot inflatable paddleboard with a paddle and pump. And you can buy raffle tickets around town for that right now, or at the event, you can buy raffle tickets. And you don't need to be present to win. But like I said, I think our community is very active outside, and who wouldn't want to win a paddleboard?
One of the things I noticed about this event at Matchwood, first of all, it's Friday, May 24th, so that's this Friday from 5 to 8 p.m., but they're going to have some outdoor activities, so that's why I mean family-friendly. They're going to have s'mores by the campfire, if weather permitting, right?
Right.
And live music, do you know who's playing music?
Chuck Mills.
Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Treat to always have Chuck. And as you mentioned, the silent auction and a raffle. And for every pint sold, the fundraiser will get $1.
Yeah.
So that's very generous. And so that supports Farm and Stidwell Elementary School. And Farm and Stidwell has its own PIE, parent involvement there for supporting the school. So does each school in the district have its own PTA, basically?
Yeah, everyone has their own. But what we're also trying to do is partner with others, because it makes sense that we're all for the same cause, looking to have the best education for our children. And so if we have like-minded goals, then we could, you know, have our movie nights together and have our jogathons together and really just try and incorporate more of the community involvement that I think makes this such a great place to live.
And how does that affect the children at school to have that much involvement by the families and the parents?
Oh, just having support is so huge for them that, you know, when they get to see that the fundraisers that they're working towards and working for have such valuable lessons that they can learn on entrepreneurship for going out there and raising money and then seeing more how the money is being spent. And so they can create a business plan based on the amount of money that they have coming in and going out and really trying to include all aspects of education in these fundraisers.
Well, it really sounds like your goal is to build this community around the school. And, you know, we are big into community here at KRFY as a community station. And I know a lot of schools have trouble with funds for field trips and things like that. I know you were talking about booking field trips. Is that what some of this money goes to?
That's what this next fundraiser is going to be, putting money into an account so we can have a plan for next year's field trips. And this is the first fundraiser of this kind for us. If it's successful, we would love to see more things being incorporated at school, playground equipment that could be ADA accessible. I think there's a huge demand for that, and we'd love to be able to address that. First, we need to build up the funds to create fundraisers, and that's where we're starting. I think square one right now is just trying to get money in the account so then we can promote on a larger scale a grand scheme of what we would like to see happen at school.
Definitely. I've always appreciated hands-on learning, and that's exciting that this is something that's going to support that.
And it does take money. It take, you know, there's a lot of students at Farm and Stidwell, and they all deserve to go on field trips. So the parents step in and have a wonderful event such as this. You're calling it Pint Night at Matchwood. I just wanted to back up to the last fundraiser you did. It was Burger Express. So, you know, just a shout out to Michael Bogue for his generosity on that.
We appreciate him 100%. He opened up his restaurant for our fifth grade class to go in there and actually hands-on help prepare the food, take the money, deliver the food. They ran the drive-through. I mean, this is real life experience that they gathered from that one event.
A field trip fundraiser kind of thing.
Wrapped into one.
So again, Farm and Stidwell Elementary School, Partners in Education, PIE, the old PTA. I wonder what PTA stood for. Parent Teacher Association.
Right.
Okay. That was the old days. So we have the new thing, Partners in Education, Pint Night at Matchwood Brewing. That is this Friday, May 24th, 5 to 8 p.m. It is family friendly, weather permitting.
There's going to be a face painter there. There's going to be some yard games outside. And the silent auction, we've got great donations from the community for the silent auction items. There's going to be a three-night stay at the White Pine Lodge. And we also have a flight over Sandpoint that was donated, a three-month pass to the pool and workout facilities at Dover. There's festival tickets. There's unique stained glass piece from one of the employees at Farm and Stidwell. We have a junior season pass from Schweitzer Mountain. It's amazing how fortunate we are with this community that they're willing to donate. And so we hope that there's a good turnout for people to come and see what is happening.
Family friendly event. Sarah Hansen, thank you so much for coming in and talking with us and letting our listeners know about this really fun evening this Friday, May 24th. We are going to take a musical break right after Bird Note at the top of the hour. We're going to have an extra special interview with Dorothy Prophet. She's from the Cade Prophet Memorial Productions, and we'll be talking about the upcoming play, Sylvia. So stay with us this morning for an extra special interview. Right now we have a special song queued up. Ryan?
Yeah, we are focusing on some of the 3 o'clock rush music this morning, and we have another one for you. This is by Saint Motel. It is Midnight Movies.